Okay. Calm the fuck down in case you're saying anything that could be incriminating and future evidence against us. Anyway, welcome to along tonight. It's the podcast. I have to edit out some parts of the podcast, the other bits of the podcast. Anyway, tonight's podcast is, of course, the Monday Club, and it is in connection with Skill Zone Sandyford, who, of course, are the hosts of the upcoming World Games. Get up there for 10 events, score as many points as you can. If you get the, I think it's 10,000 points, you could win. Or 1,000 points, you can win £10,000. It's definitely worth the day out. If you're over here for a stag party or if anyone up from the country, whatever, wants some events to do, get up the Skill Zone. It'll definitely be a bit of crack. Hens parties, the words. Get down there, make a complete tit out of yourself and just have a good laugh. And of course, we're going to be periscoping on video live where we see Andy Young defend his title as the International World Games Champion of the World of all time. Right, so, and just so you know exactly what World Games is all about, here comes the Skill Zone advert.
So, Kevin, what would you say your main skills are?
Rugby, soccer, Gaelic, tennis, climbing, basketball, shooting, golf, baseball and hanging tough.
Test your sports skills at Skillzone, Ireland's first multi-sports indoor circuit. Be the first to get 100 points and you'll also win €10,000. Skillzone Sandyford. See skillzone.ie. T's and C's apply.
Okay, so this is the welcome along to tonight's podcast. Of course, it is the Day Trippers and we are in the bunker. And tonight we've got Ray, we've got Ray, we've got Ray, we've got Neil, we've got Ray, we've got Damo, we've got Andy and we've got Ray. So once it's not, once you can walk through all the rays, and we're not going to use different rays, we're just going to let you guess which one is which. One is a fake Scouse ray.
Who sings in a Scouse accent
yet with a fantastic Mohamed Salah song. Do you want to sing it for us now, Ray?
Fucking Scouse.
Give it a go.
Give it a
whirl.
Go on. Do you remember when you sat in
the air,
Owl Times. This is my Dublin.
This is my Dublin. Brennan's bread. I'll be the hokey.
The skills all die.
My father was a killer.
And tonight we're going to be focusing on the Sevilla match ahead. And we
Sevilla.
If anyone watching the Periscope, you're watching the Fair Play. there's probably three of you and 900 porn bots watching that.
Which were all blocked.
And which were all blocked eventually.
Which were all following Andy.
Which are all Andy. Not following Andy, they are all Andy. We spent this night going hedge. Hedge, merhaba. We know it all at this stage. Anyway, so coming up, we're going to discuss the Sevilla game. I don't know where I'm going to cut into it, but I'll cut into it at some point. And secondly, I think then we do a bit of Trippers chats because obviously the lads in Fatback 4, you need to get on and listen to that. They were on last night. And then after the game, we'll have Eurotrash. And we've also got this week, we've got the Forced Ladies in Red, of course, which is our female-based podcast. We also have male guests as well because we aren't sexist. So deal with that fuckhead on Twitter. Right, so... you want a porn bot podcast?
Merhaba.
Right, so here's the cut that you never notice. Want to start tonight's podcast, so that's out of the Periscope bit, right? We're looking at Seville on Wednesday. It's our fourth Champions League game.
Seville.
Seville in English.
Sevilla.
No, Sevilla in Spanish.
Sevilla.
Sevilla.
Carry on, Phil.
You have to call him Sevilla.
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 Okay, we're looking forward to Sevilla.
I think I'm trying to keep it authentic by the second game. And then it's Paella.
Paella.
Well, Paella and Sevilla. Anyway, right?
It's like you're having an aneurysm there,
right, no, but looking at the day, we've got... it is the perfect opportunity for response to what goes on. It's a perfect chance for the players themselves, the likes of Chan, of Henderson, and Mignaldum potentially, to stand up and show that they deserve to, you know, to be in that team and deserve to play in that team. Because I have to say, the Mignaldum thing is now becoming a legitimate issue. We play away from home, and you may as well have him sitting beside you on the sofa watching the television because he went from bashing lads against Arsenal
to
not being able to stand up against the smallest Manchester. David Silva was looking at him going, I've got you in my pocket. But now we have Sevilla at home.
Sevilla
at home. And
I'll translate for you when you say Sevilla.
Sevilla.
With Sevilla at home. And he has to start. He's going to turn it on, isn't he?
Well, at home, probably he will, yeah. It's funny, I was watching the City match of the weekend. I was watching it with my dad and he said, do you know what, I can't even remember his name now anymore. That's how anonymous he goes the outside.
I was watching the game with Andy and I said it was nearly half time. I said, is Wijnaldum actually playing?
Yeah, it's terrible, mate.
I mean, it was...
Was he coming off when we realised he was playing?
He was playing.
We thought he was coming on.
that was after 6 minutes.
I was saying that for months.
He's going to turn up, yeah. And Wednesday night. It's at Anfield, isn't it?
Yeah.
Johnny's
gone
off, of course it is. Yeah, he will. He'll have a good game, but then he'll fuck off again the following week.
Well, no, we're playing at home again on Saturday, so he'll...
Is he? Maybe get that stupid cunt.
Obviously, Mane is going to play because it's in Europe. Yeah. So maybe when Alan comes out, Coutinho goes into the team. And then that means Coutinho can play at the weekend.
Yeah, well,
against Burnley.
Burnley.
That's Burnley.
Burnley and Sevilla.
But looking at it, Damo, you're looking at you and me have been big fans of Wijnaldum since he arrived. Like, I'd arguably put myself as his biggest fan.
Fuck off.
I may have invented the moniker Invisible. Due to the fact that he has a big sort of relationship with Casper the Friendly Ghost. But, like, you are a big fan of his, and it must annoy you when it goes on.
It does, because when you see games that he plays, like, he can be fucking exceptional for us in certain games, and he's a kind of big mainstay in the side, like Jordan and Wade. But I just can't understand where these dips come from away from home. Like, it's like two different players, like his fucking twin brother or something plays away from home.
Do you reckon he's afraid?
It's not even a standard position, though, is it?
No,
because
he's able to play good against good teams.
To say a centre midfielder goes missing is a damning indictment. That's where everything is happening. How can you possibly go missing? I can't understand it. How can you go missing for 20 minutes?
It's a hard part of the pitch to go missing in, because the camera's more or less on it all
the time.
Unless
it's a Jack Charlton team and you just bypass it.
It all depends on what he's being asked by Klopp in the dressing room. Like,
tired.
At home he could be said, right, as soon as we break, I want you breaking forward. And he is very good at kind of breaking the lines, and he's very good at supporting attacks. Away from home he's probably being asked to sit a little bit deeper, do this role here. And it's not his natural game. That's what could be happening away from home. He could be asked to do a little different role, and it affects him because he's not capable of playing
at Newcastle as well, though.
Do you reckon, did you hear Klopp talking about Chamberlain being able to play in both wings and he can play the two number eight roles?
Yeah.
What? Do you reckon he might be able to play the Heidi a bit better? So we're away from home, you could play him and the Heidi.
So he doesn't have to play.
And he would be a bit better at Wijnaldum.
I fucking love that. The
I wonder what it is in German. The knock the knock.
The knock the knock. The knock the knock.
Yeah. So Klopp just says to Chamberlain, see the way Wijnaldum plays the Heidi. I just need you to play that a little bit better and be less hoity. And then we're laughing. Chamberlain could play away from home in the hoity, and when Alan could play home in the dairy.
Looking at the Sevilla game.
Actually, we bought a player because one of our players can't play away from home. No, we do. Okay. How much have we got? 40 million. Right, get someone who'll play away from home. That's all he has to do. Yeah. He doesn't even have to live in Liverpool, tell him. He just live everywhere else.
It's like a job share.
Who's in this week? Oh, no, I'm taking the week off. I'm minding the kids this week.
Are we home or away this week?
Away games in a row.
I'm off to Dubai to be gaff. Andy Carroll and me are off for the weekend.
The period is the start of line and all that happens. Oh, sorry.
You're looking at your knife. Right, but Andy, for you, defensively, who starts? The one I want to ask about, Karius is starting. This is the thing, we all know Karius is starting. Thank God for me, anyway, thank God he's starting, because I can't stand him.
Well, I say thank God just because you want Migs out, but on this whole proposed job share.
It's actually a new tactic Klopp is bringing in. It's called job share for the season.
No one in the world of football, anyone that talks
incorrect.
About
football,
no, Barca did
incorrect. Barca did. Ter Stegen played a whole season as Champions League goalkeeper.
Yeah, the difference is he's really good.
The following year he started as the fourth team goalkeeper.
The difference is he's
really good. Very important.
He's a good goalkeeper. I know we have two fucking jokes.
I know you don't rate Karius, but I'm telling you now, he's a better goalkeeper
because he's been terrible.
But he's a better goalkeeper for the way we've
ever been presented with the situation where he's three goalkeepers who are exactly the same.
What level?
Yeah. Because Ward's going to play cup games, you know. Carrius is going to play Champions League games.
I think Carrius is going to play all the cup games and all the Champions League games.
I think he's giving him that Champions League thing because he needs to give Ward. Like, Ward's been on loan for every fucking season and he's done well. Now he's got a chance to stay at the club. He has to give him minutes.
Andy, I don't disagree with you, but I don't think it necessarily works like that.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
No, I think he sees Karius as his number one.
Yeah.
I think, and he's going to use the cup games and the Champions League games to let him build up his confidence and play in big matches like the Arsenal game.
Build up your confidence with Clavin in front.
And two centre midfielders on the job share.
Maybe he fucking likes Karius that much that he's setting Meg up. By putting Clavin in front of him.
Every game.
Yeah. He could just sneak out.
He's going to take BVD out now, but I imagine went, we have all of
Well, obviously, we're starting.
Good evening, mate.
Done, mate.
Done.
Done.
Am I fucking team. Fault?
Wait, I'm starting to tell you off.
The club fucked up.
Yeah. Fucking vile club.
Anyway, right.
Done, mate. Black.
Tell everyone.
So, anyway, tell me
DM
this.
DM, mate.
With Cardia starting, who, Andy, your defence, who is it? Who do you start against Seville?
Gomez.
Sevilla.
Lovren, Matip, and Robertson.
Mm.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm. Damo, Andy, you're a defender, allegedly, at one stage. How would you line up?
I wouldn't fucking start half of them. We have, that's all we have. And I'd probably agree with what Andy's saying. Like, Trent is probably going to play next Saturday. So he'd be resting. Gomez will play. Yeah, I can't disagree with Andy. That's nearly nailed on, I'd say.
I think Moreno starts.
Yeah, me too.
But if Moreno starts, then is he coming out the weekend?
This weekend? Yeah, probably.
You prefer it,
probably. I think Moreno at the moment is his number one left back. I know people.
I literally can't understand that. How is that happening? After Robertson has a fucking phenomenal, one of the best left back performances we've seen.
A fucking quality. In every department.
Defensively, it's delivery. Forward, everything he done. He couldn't have a fucking better game. I don't think he was short and he was scoring. Like,
Score for Scotland, then what?
Then he gets then he gets left out and binned.
It's his Matt's fault, you're a baby.
You know?
But no, but I do think that he believes that Moreno has worked himself in and is playing well enough to be his first choice left back, and he's going to leave him in there until something cataclysmic happens with Moreno. So, or Robertson puts him in a position which potentially after his debut game, you say, "Geez, that was an incredible game. He deserves another start." Well, I think he comes in at the weekend in the league game. That's my own personal view. I think you're right about the centre backs. I don't think there's any doubt that Lovren and Matip, unless one of them has an injury.
Yeah.
Both of them start.
But that's our strongest pairing, in fairness, from the personality.
It's the only pairing we have.
That's all we've got.
That's what it is.
It is. And whatever you think about them, last season they did have a lot of clean sheets. They did seem to strike up a partnership where they conceded a hell of a lot less goals than previous partnerships. Mm-hmm. So in Klopp's system, whether you rate the two players individually, I don't really think they're both pretty average. But together, they seem to play quite well in Klopp's system.
The way it is for me with both of them, they should be our fucking centre-halves from now until January.
Yeah.
And I don't care if they're bollocks toward and their legs are falling off and come January. Play every single game. And I know it's difficult, but they should be capable of doing it. These are pros. And bear a bad knock or anything like that.
Yeah.
They should be playing every game. Even if they're carrying a little niggle around like that. Sorry, you're in the team. We'll win the game, get you off.
Yeah.
Because
that stability is what we need. It's going to substitute for the quality that we're lacking.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep them in there.
Until that stability comes, though, you're going to have the moving target where, at the minute, we're, you can talk to any of us here and we're all fucking changing targets as who's responsible or who's the weak link or who's pissed. If it's not the keeper, it's Lovren. If it's not Lovren, it's Moreno. And until we get a solid unit, and then you can start judging. Then you can start judging individual bad performances and say, right, he's bad. But until you have that stability, shall we say, in the fucking back four, it's a moving target.
I don't think you should be rotating your spine anyway.
No. Spine should rarely ever rotate. That's your full backs and your wingers are four, and maybe your striker. But your spine should always. Like Ferguson done it for years. He was brilliant at doing it with United, but he rarely changed that core.
Yeah, I can understand maybe the midfield. Certainly not your two centre halves. No, I really don't. I think that's really detrimental.
Centre halves and your goalkeeper. But he's already decided to change the goalkeeper.
I play centre half, and you don't do a whole pile of run. You really don't. Once you're picking up the right positions, so you're not bollocks from running, really.
No,
you know, Knox and
but looking at them, I watched Sevilla at the weekend, and I did. I actually watched the game because they were on, and I said, "Fuck it, may as well have a look at these lads." And I saw
three
a game
scored at the end.
Yeah, I saw the previous match with them as well. After we got in the group, I said, "Let's have a look to see what they were like," because obviously they've lost Monchi and they've gone through another transition phase where
they've got Jesus though.
They do.
Another one.
But do you know who impressed me? Ganso.
Oh, yeah.
Ganso used to play for Sao Paulo in Brazil, and at one stage he was like the next wonder kid coming through, but he's very, very Riquelme, so he doesn't seem to do much, but then he has those couple of moments of brilliance in the games where he seems to be opening up teams, and they were saying like he seems to have really adapted to Sevilla, and he's playing well for him, and like that in the game it was his bit of magic that opened up the defence that they were playing against. And they had Ben Yedder playing up front. Now, Lewis Muriel has signed for them as well. I saw him in the previous match, and he was like a little pit bull running around the pitch.
He was their big signing, wasn't he, in the summer?
And Nolito. But Nolito was out. He's out injured. And I looked at them and I said, with Nzonzi in the middle of the park as well, I was there going, you know, these lads are going to come with nothing to lose to Anfield, right?
Yeah.
And they're going in and they're saying, well, if we lose this game, sure, it's the away game. The best you want to do in Europe is if you can draw your away games and win your home games, you'll get out of the group.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and they are a decent enough side. I'm not saying that they're full of world-class players, but they always...
As well. I mean, they
always seem to up their levels in European competition. Well, not so much in the Champions League, because they tend to just use it as a way to win the Europa League. Like, but they do, and they're coming again sort of well-organised and well-thing. We have to be on our top game. This is like the Arsenal match all over. And it's like the Hoffenheim game. We have to hit this the first 20 minutes. And you're looking at Henderson. Henderson be getting a lot of grief over his performance at the weekend. And it wasn't a particularly good performance. Nobody in that midfield. Emery Chan didn't have a good performance either. And he had an even worse performance when they moved him in at centre-back into the trade of back. But that tempo is going to have to be set in there, isn't it? Right, look, we need our midfielders to get on it and set that tempo. Look, it's a huge thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm now sort of genuinely concerned, really, that if we don't, you know, if we don't come out of the blocks quickly, that we're the crowd's going to get edgy. And I tell you, if we concede first, it's going to be a long old night. So I think we've got to come out fast. I think, you know. I'm really fearful, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think a lot of us, when we seen the draw, we thought, okay, you know, we should be favourites for this group.
Yeah.
But I think we have underestimated Seville or Sevilla a little bit too much. I think we've been quite dismissive of them, and they've got off to a decent start in La Liga. So look, we've got to come out. We've got to come out quick, and we've got to get the early goal.
The thing is, you kind of know after 5 minutes what type of performance you're going to get from Liverpool, don't you?
Yeah.
Generally, that's been happening for 2, 3, 4 years. Maybe if we're not really on it after 5 minutes, now we're already on it. We're going to slog our way through this.
Sevilla are no mugs. Like, your man knows what he's fucking doing there, and they'll be hard to break down. You know, I know, like when we're on our game, it looks like we're breaking any team down.
Yeah.
I don't think we break these down as easy as we think. They will be quite happy to concede possession to us. 100%, and we're not really great in that. Like, it's going to suit us, and you're going to see in Klopp now, he's willing to concede possession to other teams and drop a little bit deeper to hit teams on the break. But I think Sevilla will just let us have the ball, because I think when we're playing 5 and 6 passes or 30 yards from goal is when we're our weakest. It really is, because we don't tend to open teams up that way. We need to put a little bit more space to hit in the break. So I think these lads are going to be a difficult nut to crack. I really do.
Yeah, I mean,
watching now 5-0 Liverpool.
I mean, you have to, look, I'm not going to be the romantic, but you have to take into it, it's the first game back. I think the crowd will demand a fucking blitz of a start from the players. The players themselves will want to have something to prove after the weekend, and the manager, it's a first game back in the Champions League. Everything about it demands that, and I can't see us in any way sort of probing or touching. I think we're going to go jugular from the start. And
probing and touching?
After what I said about the battle against Manchester City, I do agree with Ray. I think it is going to happen on Wednesday night, purely because it's the Champions League and it's Anfield and it's the first game.
Okay, lads, so that we were talking about the Sevilla game there, and you know, obviously the elephant in the room is not Clavin. It is, of course, Coutinho sitting on the bench. Mm-hmm. And Klopp has said he's welcoming back into the squad. So Ray Dickinson, Ray Brady, you can start answering this just to really fuck people's heads up. Ray Dicko.
Dicko.
Does he start? Does he come in?
No, I mean, I think you've got to put him on the bench. I think obviously Mane starts because he's going to be out of the weekend. So personally, I think he may have been erring on the side of not even having him on the bench, but I think he'll give him 20 minutes.
Yeah. Ray Brady.
It's probably in his head now to try sort out the mess that was, so he'll stick to as near as that team as possible, I reckon. So the same three boys will be in there. I can't see Coutinho starting, if I'm honest there.
Yeah.
He will be on the bench, obviously, yeah.
Damo.
It all depends what way he's going to line up, I suppose, and he's going to have one eye on Saturday as well. Who's going to be starting. If Phil is fit and he's part of Klopp's idea and what way he's going to play on Wednesday,
yeah,
play him. He's a fucking world-class player. Doesn't matter what went on during the summer. He's our player at the moment.
Okay, I'll put it this way, right? The argument for Coutinho is that if you take, given how bad Wijnaldum played on Saturday, Andy, right, you know how good Coutinho is. The whole idea was, before the whole Barcelona thing kicked off and all, was that Coutinho was going to play in that midfield and be the orchestrator, essentially our forward attacking orchestrator, to let Firmino and drop in and then give those little true balls that both Mane and Salah are just going to fucking kill teams with, right? So Parkin, I've put my position clear. I never want to see him in a Liverpool jersey again. I want to see his career ruined. I want to force him to see it of his whole contract and him never to play a minute again.
Very
for
pragmatic
us.
Of you, Phil.
I know,
nice.
It'll teach players a lesson to go and fucking strike. And at the end of the day, they're basically slaves.
They're
footballing slaves, and that's what they should be. But anyway, right, outside of that, Andy, for you, Do you just say fuck it? He's one of our best players, if not our second best, our third best player at the club. I need him for this system to really function. I want to win this opening Champions League game.
Yeah, I think he might start.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, he started a couple of games for Brazil, did he?
Yeah,
he certainly played a lot of minutes.
He's on the bench.
He played one and came on as a sub on the other.
Yeah, he was left out at the weekend, rightly so. Would have been very harsh on the team, the players that were involved so far. To take, especially after the Arsenal game. But they're coming out of the back of a heavy defeat where lots of their attitudes were brought into question. So Coutinho is our best player. Okay, he might not be the most important player in the system when you look at Mane and Salah and the pace they have out wide, but he is the best player. And I think in a game like this, why not put Coutinho back in?
I agree with Andy, I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Because it just to use that word pragmatic again.
Mm-hmm.
To be pragmatic about it, he is our best player. And if you're, to try to detach myself away from a little bit, it is the first Champions League home game. He has a point to prove. It's going to be live in Spanish TV. It's against Seville. So I think to not start him, I think we'd be missing a trick big time if we didn't. Because it's a game that has to be won, and being that the opposition is Spanish gives it an extra little bit of spice to us. So he's not going to not turn up and down tools, particularly in the Champions League, on such a big stage and against a Spanish team. So I think it's a no-brainer. I think he has to start. And like Damo said, he's our best player, so just play him. And Wijnaldum was fucking awful, so just put him in for him.
The way it is, right, he's in a World Cup year. He's not going to act the bollocks. He's with us for the season, at least. And he's not going to act the bollocks. Any game he plays, he's going to perform, you know, or he's going to try his best to perform. Football fans are guilty. We're all guilty of being very, very fickle fans. He scores or sets something up on Wednesday night, everything that went on the summer's forgotten.
Yeah,
everything.
It was
the same with Suarez. When Suarez acted the bollocks with Arsenal the whole summer,
and everyone players,
he comes up with a goal, assist, fucking everyone's cheering and shouting, all's forgotten. And then we'll deal with it next summer. Crops up again.
Okay, and look, I wanted to lead on to this, because if we think of the sort of the ones that we've seen through the club through the year who've gone in, who've known that these are their final seasons and the performance that they put in to get the moves, right? So think of Alonso and Owen, imperious, the best midfielder in Europe that season, right? Yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt, right? And went on to prove that he was the best at what he did for a long, long time. And it's very hard to find even someone who's comparable to his range of skills that he had, right? Suarez, fantastic example. That 13-14 season, Jesus Christ, I've never seen a player. Everyone has seen Messi and Ronaldo, but he was on a par with those that year. Mm. As he scores that volley against Arsenal, that's it. You just may as well go home. The worst bit of that to this day will be that Colo Touré missed
the rebound.
You would have taken the off the post.
I didn't want him to get the rebound.
Oh, I did.
I'd much rather just sit there and applaud the effort.
Forevermore, the replay is Colo's scored. And the Suarez fucking streak is cut out because there's only ever seen. Yeah. So that would have been fucking down to the.
So you enjoyed Colo on Saturday, did you? Yeah. On your new widescreen telly.
Yeah. No, listen, it wasn't. It's not really a hey Colo thing, but the effort was that good. You know what I mean? The effort was that good. I keep watching it and watching it.
He spoiled a lot of things, Colo.
I'll tell you one thing. I would have preferred to see Colo Touré start the centre back than Clavin still at that game on Saturday.
Colo with a high line.
Yeah. The crack would have been mighty.
What have you felt on his back?
Doesn't make a difference.
Someone would need to flip him back over.
He would have been breaking his bollocks laughing. He would have been breaking his bollocks laughing.
You know,
he was
the best. Insect.
I think I can already see the graphic for this podcast. A total version of Colo Touré in a Celtic jersey. Colo Touré. Nothing to do with the ball at all. But come here, you know, if he does start, he's
Colo.
Yeah. We're all on for Colo.
We are allowed to sign free agents, aren't we?
Yeah. I think it's in sport. Yeah, Colo, do a job here. In reality, though, we're looking at it. So we've got Coutinho. So Andy, Coutinho starts for you.
Yeah.
Ahead of Wijnaldum.
Yeah.
Okay. A question was asked. Grizz asked the question, or somebody else asked the question. Does Oxlade-Chamberlain come in because of the fact that we're going to lose Mane at the weekend to give him game
no,
time?
No, I'd say what happens is Mane plays because he can't play at the weekend, and then depending whether Coutinho plays 20 minutes or whatever, yeah. I think Coutinho starts at the weekend, at home to Burnley. You know, it's not necessary that we play two pretend eights and a six. So I think at home, like some of the best football for Coutinho towards the end of last season was there.
That's a great show, man.
I knocked him.
Why is me?
Why is that was marrying me?
There
you go. Do you want me to plug that in with you?
No, you're
right. You sure?
No, I'm just playing.
So anyway, remember towards the end of last season, Coutinho started playing that kind of midfield role, and Klopp was talking about him playing an important role in centre midfield next season. So at home especially, there's no need for three kind of very, not defensively minded, but Wijnaldum, Chan and Henderson don't offer you too much creativity. So at home to Burnley, I think Coutinho will probably start at the weekend. So, and Chamberlain probably plays where Mane plays. Yeah.
Except he doesn't offer a goal threat or any assists.
Yeah, but he runs real fast.
Oh, well, that's all right then. Yeah. Yeah, like Antonio Nunes. He was a great player as well. Alex Antonio Nunes.
Oh, God.
Chamberlain should be given a blank canvas anyway with Liverpool.
What, to go
like,
and paint given,
well, he's been
on.
Given, he's going to be given a new
box
of
crayons.
There you go, keep yourself posted for the game, Jason. They brought me for the morale.
Yeah. I'm one of them artist hats and an easel.
You need to, because I just think he's a meh player, always have, never really seen the attraction, but I want to see him given a chance and see. But you know what I mean?
A fresh set of instructions, yeah. Fresh.
Well, he's only had 2 weeks of hugs, so he's nearly right.
Nilo hates Klopp. People don't realise this.
I don't hate Klopp. I hate people's reaction to him. So that means I hate everybody else except him.
Yeah. So you don't mind him.
Do you know what it is? Do you know
when you're living with a boy for a while, you're just fighting all the time. You're just staying with her. You don't know why you are. That's what it is. That's where I am with Liverpool at the minute.
So you're starting to hate yourself. I'm wondering what I'm doing here.
You say you keep saying I hate Liverpool. I say, no, I don't. I love
them. You said a minute ago you hated all the fans. No, I do hate them.
But you asked me about the club, right?
So would the fans be like your Matt's
sisters,
in-laws, and
yeah,
all that?
Yeah, oh, but how it is, okay. You know, like you say, you know, I do love Liverpool, but I don't know why I do anymore. Yeah, we've all been there.
Well, we get back to
not away, like she's really good looking, but she's a cunt. And you just stay just because she's good looking.
Andy, what were you saying?
Sorry.
So
I digressed.
No way, really?
Yeah, he only has a few hugs so far, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Chambie.
Oxy, baby. Oxy.
He might have enough hugs. He might have enough hugs to get him started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reckon so.
Yeah. Okay. Look, he should be, you know, like, he's after invested heavily in that player. Mm. He obviously sees something in him that a lot of fans don't seem to. Like, Klopp's not saying, Chamberlain, meh. 40 million. Like, the reality of it, he thinks he can get more out of him than Wenger did, and he might create a few goals, score a few goals. So he's the obvious choice is he's going to come in for Mane. And that's why we bought this cover. Like, we didn't foresee Mane getting sent off, because not the type of player he is. He shouldn't have been sent off in the first place. But at the end of the day, he does pick up injuries and players. So it's Chamberlain's time to step up now. And that's what I think is going to happen at the weekend.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Come here. I want to ask about this Seville game. How important? I know. Everyone keeps saying, like, you know, it's a good chance to bounce back or whatever. But is this game isn't as important as the league match that follows it? So my take on it, well, to me it isn't. It's like, yes, you want to get the right result, and it's a must have for Champions League ambitions, right? Yeah. But it's as important, if not more important, to win the follow on game after the Champions League game, because what we don't want to do is go from losing against City, having a reaction against Sevilla, and then dropping the points into the next league game.
But I think you know, if we lose on Wednesday, I think the doom and gloom around the place is just going to be, you know, people are going to be rocking up on Saturday, and I actually think Wednesday is probably the bigger game, purely because of the fact that we just don't want to get into this slump. You know, four or five games in. We don't want to be going 4 or 5 games without a win now. You know, we need to get back, you know, back out there. One thing I would say is, you know, the likes of Salah and Mane, they should be fresh as daisies, because they didn't have many minutes on the pitch on Saturday. So look, we've got to go out there. We've got to go out there early. We've got to score early, in my opinion, and that just sets the tone to just, you know, carry on through into Saturday. Notwithstanding that is a very important game, and, you know, let's face it, we should be beating Burnley. Come on, we shouldn't be, you know,
more than too much.
I think what you said, Phil, though, about the game on the weekend at Burnley, isn't it? Just like last year, Burnley. But like you were saying, like last year when Mane went out of the team and he got injured, we disappeared, and the whole level dropped, and we had no direction, and we kind of lacked any type of direction. So the reaction, if he is out for the Burnley game, which I think is right, he is definitely out for that 100%. So the reaction
this week.
Yeah, so the recruitment that we've made in the summer.
I banned him just for his haircut.
That's completely beside the point.
I know
the way I like to stick on point all the time.
Yeah, but
the point I'm making is that if the recruitment we've made during the summer to kind of prevent that situation from happening again, so how that transpires is going to be really interesting to see. And hopefully we've covered that. We're not going to make the same.
Okay. These teams that apparently I just sit back and we can't break them down. It was always out. Manny's not out. And now we have a couple of options there.
Exactly.
Burnley aren't like that anyway.
No, they come at us. They'll want to play football. But I want to ask around the Seville game, because and it also comes back to it, because the idea is, and something Damo touched on, they're more likely to come and try soak up the pressure at Anfield, soak up the first 20 minutes, let us come at them, right? And approach it like a lesser Premier League team who just sit there and say, come break us down, and then look to hit us on the counter, which we have been weak to across the course of the previous couple of seasons.
But that's classic European football.
Don't get me wrong. I absolutely agree with you, Neil, right? But we should be better equipped for dealing with that type of setup against us. You know, when you look at it, Nzonzi is their centre mid. He's played very well for them, but he was at Stoke before he went to...
Good player, though, when he was at Stoke, even.
I know, but...
you'd be hopeful that our midfield.
No, Glenn Whelan beside him now, though.
That's a huge letdown for him. Are you worried about Andy?
Of course, I'm worried. That game on Saturday's at the point a serious amount of doubts into all of our heads. I'm sure if we had even drew against City or we weren't thumped like we were, we'd have been a lot more confident. But back in the day when we started this podcast, didn't we do a thing with a fella who said, you're no more likely to lose the next game following a loss.
Yep.
And I don't think Liverpool are at that level where they're like that anymore, even that they can't recover. There's so many good players.
It was Joey Pepper. He said, there's no such thing as momentum.
Yeah.
Yep. Congratulations to Joey Pepper as well and his missus and having a baby there recently. Just thought cool. That's just popped into head.
Mrs. and Mrs. Pepper.
He has another baby. Momentum, is it?
But well, I do believe
that
if he has another baby within 9 months, that proves there's momentum.
If he's at her now, that's momentum.
But I think that that sort of idea of momentum is in the fans' heads. It's in the atmosphere more so than it is in the players' minds and in reality what's going to happen. But the good thing about it is we're playing at Anfield under lights, European night, so people aren't going to be having a hangover over the City game. They'll have been looking forward to this for a couple of years since last time we were in the Champions League. Yep, and it's the Champions League under Klopp and everything else.
Now John Glenson, now Enrique.
Yeah, it is the whole thing that goes with it. I think
we're going to be the same. Well, come on, we're all going to have a little stiffy when the music's down. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, come on.
But the other point I'm going to make as well is we have seen European games where teams stink the place out and everything else. And okay, our reaction to it last season might have been just play football left and right across their defence. But I don't think that's the approach Klopp has taken this season. He's trying to utilise the pace that he has up front. Mane is going to be playing, Salah's going to be playing. It's going to be the exact same approach as the league game so far this season. They will try and get their chances away early, balls in earlier, be more direct. And let Seville, they're not going to just pass the ball around the back. Who does that? They're going to come on a little bit. They're going to open up spaces. And Liverpool are going to try and close them down and get on them straight away. So I'm not too concerned over this idea that we won't be able to break down a team at home like we did last year, because it's not been really the approach.
It's in my head really how many games was there a pre-season with Coutinho and Salah playing where we were sort of saying this looks like they have a bit of a connection there.
Coutinho played in pre-season up to the game in Dublin.
Yeah. Right.
It was the first
there was signs there, even though it was pre-season.
He played against Munich.
Salah's runs being really exploited well by Coutinho buying him for, and you could see it there. So when you're talking, if Coutinho was the set, you could say, and you're saying Sevilla might sit back and soak up pressure, that exact pairing of Coutinho and Salah on the pitch together could be something that could fucking.
I think if we were all to kind of sit back and look at it, not try and second guess Klopp and the nuances he's going to try and bring into it, and we were all here to pick a team that we think we should start, I think we'd all probably pick the same team, nearly. Mm. I mean, that's what we've been going on about.
Our best 11 is our best 11. And I think not much more outside of it. There's good players coming in and out, but we'd all nearly pick the same.
I think we would pick the same 11 for Wednesday. But that's kind of what Ray was saying about the City game, that trying to be too clever and bringing Klopp. I don't understand that. You can't legislate for those nuances. We're not close enough to the squad to know what they are. The only
player we aren't, that you wouldn't necessarily say would have been the nail on start, would have been Karius, right? But it's already been put out there that Karius is going to start, right? So I can't see him doing a funny thing with the defence. The only question marks you might have is around the fullbacks. Does he go with Alexander or does he go with Gomez at right back? Left back, I don't think there's even a question over. I think, as I said to Moreno,
I'd take Trent out because he had a bit of a nightmare on Saturday. He's only a young guy and I'm not attributing any blame to him whatsoever. I might just take him out though for this game, you know what I mean?
I think we need to be careful. Insuo was destroyed as a fullback at the club because there was too much expectation on him too young, right? And as soon as he started having a few bad games.
Insuo's a big fat duck.
Something happened to him. If you watched him in the reserves, you would have bet your mortgage that this fella was going to carry on. He went away and turned into the fucking incredible Hulk and gained about 40 stone of muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was
there. What are we trying to say there, right?
Jamie?
If Suarez was the nutmeg king, he was the reverse version of that.
The nutmegged
king. He was the king of getting nuts.
That's what I'm saying, the nutmegged king.
Yeah.
But my point is, Andy, so we are, as a fan base, and I say most fan base is the same, we love hyping a young player, and then as soon as their form starts to go off at all, we're straight away on their back.
What about Cock Warburton to come into the team after this performance? For what? No, I'm only messing.
But you're saying about hyping young players, you know what I mean? There you go. That's exactly the point.
You just made all that happen.
Yeah, no, no,
but nobody said anything there. You jumped in, said Cock Warburton.
No, but
you mentioned Cock Warburton.
Asked
the question, answered it, and then sat back again.
Because it's an excellent point. Because it's an excellent point.
He picked up his own head.
There's another mixing desk and a mic inside there. I'll give you a computer, you can go in and record your own pod. You can be all the guests, all the hosts,
all the Neils.
Of course, this podcast is Neil with Neil, and Neil. A whole five Neils.
It's near fucking time, it was.
Right, so quickly then, Damo, prediction for Thursday night, I mean Wednesday. Thursday, Neil can give us that one.
I think we win. I think we're our best 11 on the park, and I think he will go with our strongest 11. And I think we win the game. I don't think we blitzed them, maybe 1 or 2 nil. I'm more worried about the hangover Saturday. I really am.
Do we concede the away goal?
I don't think so.
Okay. Ray.
I think we win. We'll go with 2-0.
Grant. Andy.
Yeah, 2-1.
2-1.
Yeah.
We concede the away goal.
Yeah, I think we'll come out of the blocks fast, score early. Just won't have it all our own way. And I think we'll win 2-1.
Okay. Neil?
Yeah, we'll win and we'll concede.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell us about Woodbourne or anything? No?
Yeah, Cock Woodbourne.
Dicko.
I think someone wins 3-2. I just don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there'll be goals. I think we'll be leaky at the back again.
Okay. No, listen, it's you're allowed to have your opinion.
As he swipes through his phone, you're basically a dickhead, right? Yeah.
It's so unfair.
You're not coming back.
I know you're right.
Because you don't read the agenda. You were supposed to say 3-1.
When I send you the score predictions, you just read out what's on the script. There's a fucking agenda on this podcast, right? You stick to it. Right then, so that's about it. I think we get the win. I think it'll be tight enough, but I think we get the win. And I hate predicting wins because it generally falls.
Just to give me arse a little bit of a warning for a thing. Are these any youth with set pieces? Am I going to shite myself? Oh, great.
Doesn't matter, right, if you've got a set pieces or not.
You don't have to be good at set pieces. All you do is look for where's Matip standing and where's Mignolet not standing. Put the ball there and you've got a free header.
I mean, look, who else goes through this when you just can see the corner and you shit yourself?
Well, Mignolet isn't playing, so there's going to be no pancakes on the pitch.
That's just right. Roll it back to the keeper and you make a bollocks for.
An under 11s could probably score from a corner against us.
Yeah. They are devil.
Well, how what the hell? Jesus is about 6 foot. No, he's about 3'2", isn't he? And he's in there winning the headers in the box.
You know what I think would be an interesting tactic against Liverpool? Well, if he was just boot the ball up in the air, just up in the air, and really? Like, with the plan that's just going to fall down around somewhere. The 6 yard box,
and do that packing ballagrimus.
I'm telling you, I don't think
that gets it at least 10 years.
It doesn't have any
Andy, I don't think that's actually a bad tactic, full stop. Because if you think about it, right, those players can kick the ball with some accuracy, so they could really put a lot of frost in that ball, right?
Yeah.
And just let it drop into the box.
Yeah. Phil, have you ever heard of a chap called Jack Charlton?
Yeah.
No, but doing that for years.
No, he went from box to box. And he's talking about, you're just about 20 yards, about 25 yards outside, flick it up and volley it up into the air.
It's not one
get it to drop just between the 6 yard box and the penalty spot. Just enough so that the goalkeeper might decide to come and then change his mind.
Yeah.
And then the panic that would have ensued amongst their defenders.
There would be mayhem.
There would be mayhem.
As soon as you hit keepers, bro.
But Lovren going to head balls and everything, just to be fellas falling over.
It may as well be a grenade going up there.
It would be like an air-based bowling ball coming towards our defenders. Huh?
Yeah, figure it out. Get our reference, figure it out.
It was like when play against Stoke and the Lap used to throw balls.
Throw the ball in, yeah.
They weren't like coming in fast.
No,
there were just balls coming in. And everyone's going,
baller! Remember, Ian Challenger from the halfway line, thrown it into the 6 yard box.
He nearly won the FA Cup down there. That's when Aldo was in charge, wasn't it?
It was.
He couldn't play football, but he could throw a ball. But you think, Andy, I think you could be on.
Do you think, as a goalkeeper, you're the expert in goalkeepers?
Well, he's all we have.
Do you think Mignolet could catch that ball?
Do I think
if it was coming down?
Okay, do I think he could or he should?
Could.
I don't.
Unchallenged.
If the ball was just kicked up in the air,
space kick,
and like, there was a lot of defenders up. Attackers or big lads.
I don't think he's the favourite at all. He doesn't come for that ball. He stays in his line.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, he stays at home. If there's fellas around him and that ball has fucking snow on it, right, from going up so high and coming down, he's shitting himself. He's not brave enough to take that thing. Like, I tweeted at the weekend, he was brutal until we were 3-0 down, and at 3-0 down, he starts pulling off world class. What's the point in that?
He's deadly, isn't he? He's
that one a 4-0.
Oh, it's a fucking great save. Imagine it could have ended 5. Oh, yeah. It could have been. It's just, Damo, you've played with a few goalkeepers in your life, including me. Would you be confident in Mignolet in that situation? If a fellow just wellies a ball up in the air for it to drop down anywhere between the 6-yard box and the penalty spot?
Oh, he's a fucking coward. Like, he comes for nothing. Rarely ever comes. If there's traffic there, he's fucking nailed.
He wants those. He wants extra slow Rory the Lap throws into the box that he can come towards the back part of it and catch it on at the back.
Underarm throws.
He doesn't like coming for balls at the front at all.
No.
Or those 50-50 high ones. Do you remember he came for one against Hoffenheim and he dropped it behind him?
It's like you can't even do that.
Right, lads. So we do a few trippers chats and then we get out of here. So, first one, Nads asks, if you're stuck in the bunker, very appropriate, who would last the longest and why? Who would get eaten first and who would cry wank themselves to sleep each night?
Jesus, there's a few levels there, isn't there?
There is.
You're only supposed to get one question.
Okay, sorry, but that was just one long question with multiple prefaces on it.
Anyway,
who would last the longest?
In the bunker, who
lasts the longest?
Well, he was carrying the most timber out of all of us.
Last longest is in like what?
Well, I presume stay alive because you know.
Who'd last the longest?
I don't think even sitting in the car on my own, I wouldn't last 2 minutes.
Would you not?
No. No good on my own. Strangely enough.
What would you do?
Neil, you'd start climbing the walls.
Yeah, after 20 seconds.
You'd be like that scene in Train Spot.
Especially
when
a
baby
you.
Goes across the ceiling and does a 360.
Looking around with you with no chance of getting out. I just cut my throat.
So Neil's going for us.
You have to last past it once the last fella's gone. Then you know what I mean?
I've no staying power.
Well, I'm the only one who was admitted to
cannibalism.
Yeah. So the rest of you is like, might take a while to come around to that idea. Well, I'd be like, Phil, give us a sliver of your leg there.
Your leg.
Andy, you'd be really underhanded, you would. Yeah. I wouldn't like to be stuck in a room with you. You'd produce a blade after. Sorry, Neil. What was that, Neil?
And you won't have onions with your burger, though, no?
No. It's like kids, they eat snots but not vegetables. I'd eat Phil's leg but not onions.
Not onions.
Anyway, those onions were disgusting the way they served
them. You don't eat onions?
Uh-oh. No.
All right.
Do you want me to explain it?
No.
Okay.
I know how in-depth you are. You're a proper fan.
I don't like cold onions in salsas and shit like that where they've just filled the bowl full of chopped up onions. Because
it's strictly in salsa.
But if you're making a curry and obviously it starts off with your onion, garlic and you fry it off, that's your flavour, like that's your base. But people are just chopping up onions because they're cheap and fucking them into dishes and then charging you €15 like for the house burger.
Would you ever eat raw onion?
No way.
No.
Absolutely no way.
So you think cooking it on its own without anything, it's flavour?
It's a very important flavour.
Do you ever taste a freshly picked ripe onion? Like bite into it like an apple?
No. I do take bits of raw onion.
It tastes completely different to the onions you get in the supermarket. Doesn't taste anywhere near as oniony.
Why?
Because the sulfur content grows over time as it transports to the supermarket, and it gives you that onion in taste. That's and the more they go off.
What was that about the sulfur again, Phil?
The stronger it becomes in the eyes.
He's fucking me sniffing sulfur.
Yeah. So onions, grand cooked, not raw.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank God we've answered that chap's question.
Oh, grand. So,
you can just reword your question for next week.
So, Naz, if you want to know, Andy doesn't like onions. Right, next one up, we have Keith Blaine. No, baby Keith. Blaine, fuck it. We have a bloke and he asks I'm going to leave Jamie out because it'd be the force of the ask, but which other day tripper would you least like to be punched in the face by? Least likely to be punched in the face.
Least likely.
Yeah.
Only punched.
Yeah.
Because I'd hate a headbutt off him.
In fairness, there's nobody getting up. If Dano headbutts you, you're staying down.
You're not going down if I
headbutt you. Dano's the only bloke that could headbutt us all in one go.
I don't know.
I wouldn't like Joe Walsh to hit me a dig.
No.
No.
No, definitely not.
All 6'4" of them. Yeah. Bit like a fucking tank. Yeah. He'd kill you. And he'd know the technique as well.
Yeah, and why is Jamie left out of this?
He's a big bloke.
He is a big bloke, but he's very small hands.
No. Jesus, you've got a good point.
Smells like cabbage. There's always that. I think hands smell like cabbage.
What the fuck?
I just thought I'd say that.
That's like what was that? County folk, big hands, smell like cabbage.
Yeah, I'd go.
Neil.
Austin Powers. That's where it's from.
Give him your hands.
Because Andy, it's the guns you don't want to be on.
Yeah. Your hands are very worried.
Very worried.
Probably Ray's hands.
Yeah, Ray do a lot of damage.
Ray do damage.
But he's old. There's always that.
I'd say
I've
Steve.
Got one good digging me.
One good one.
You're one good.
Yeah, Steve has big hands as well.
Steve, oh yeah.
They'd be like big plates smacking it in the face. I'd say I'm more likely to get a smack off Steve-O than a punch.
Backhand.
I will not punch you. I will challenge you to a duel. Pistols outside now.
Yeah, Steve-O, it might be just like getting hit with a medicine ball or something. There might be a terrible lot of ferocious force behind it, but it might be just a bit, oh, you bastard.
There'd be a lot of impact in it.
It'd be just, yeah.
Yes, there'd be a lot of punch.
Yeah. Just punch looking at the hands at the table here, I wouldn't fancy Reyes. I think they might be sharp enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Reyes.
Next book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Well, fair enough. Do you have anything else?
It's a nasty looking ring as well, isn't it?
Yeah, fuck that.
It's like the one if you had a movie made of your life, what famous person would you get to play you? That's one we got asked forever.
Yeah.
And also, if you had to have, which one would you go for? Would you like to get rolled by Roy Hodgson or suck Sam Allardyce off?
Yeah. Speaking of Roy, Roy's back in football.
Yeah. Oh, it's a glorious day, Emma. It's a glorious day. Isn't it?
I have to say.
I've seen all the tweets today.
We can laugh now because it's nothing to do with us.
Brilliant.
It's like, is it Men in Black where they just do the, forget everything.
Yeah. Zap. Oh, yeah, the zap.
Like, he seems to have a fella going around. Like,
zapping everyone.
Semi lead on it.
And then that's it. Like, he's back in football.
Yeah.
Imagine he's supporting a club who's had Sam Allardyce and Roy Hodgson as manager.
And in between,
I couldn't understand how they tolerate Allardyce coming in.
Hang on, before Allardyce, they had Pulis. Let's not forget. Oh, gosh,
and come here, they had that other Wankstein who would manage Newcastle.
Pardew.
And Mark Hughes.
That's some lineup, isn't it? Yeah.
Mark Hughes
some lineup, isn't it?
Mark Hughes is like fucking Bill Shankly compared to that. He's like, Mark, oh fucking hell.
But the man,
we had Mark.
the chairman or something said, oh look, we wanted to play a better brand of football than what Allardyce brings. So he brings in the ball, right?
And then
Allardyce's squad, right? And then after four games goes, now, this isn't working out. We're going to get... Who's the closest we can get to Allardyce who isn't Allardyce?
It's like you said to him, right, you have till the end of August to turn that into Ajax, otherwise there's someone else.
Just for a split second, imagine there was a Crystal Palace day trippers and what their pod would be right now.
I'm going to look for it.
Imagine. Yeah, but they've still got our best centre back though, haven't they?
No, there is that, yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't make him manager.
He's too busy painting gaffs.
He's too busy painting gaffs.
What's going down with there? Like, Football is fucked, isn't it? Like, it really is.
Sims getting sacked out.
Yeah. No, De Boer comes in and you think, like, this is something positive. We, you know, even if they spent the whole season just dogfighting, like going into the following season and with his own team, four games.
One of the pundits has been recently, exactly what Damo was saying, that one of the pundits says, get ready because the days of managers and long terms, they're not going to be given long contracts. It will be 1 and 2 years at a max, and they will be literally fucked out with a run of 5 or 6 games, and it's going to go the way Italian football used to be, and the manager's just going to be the chop and
chop.
We are completely disconnecting the fans from the club, if that's the case.
Essentially, if you're employing Roy Hodgson, you're saying, I want to finish 13th.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 11 and 14th. That's it. Yeah.
West Brom got into this.
But De Boer would have maybe finished 13th.
Yeah, through the fair play award, he's starting football.
He would have gave them a bit of positivity.
June 15th to get into the Europa League.
I've seen a tweet
there
earlier. What's the lad Ben Teke practicing corners there at the minute? Because Hodgson's coming in. Hadn't he got Kane on corners in the Euros?
Yeah.
That was the maddest tactical decision I've ever seen in my life.
It's a model.
Actually, Ben Husky, can you flick up the ball and take the corner with your head?
your best finisher, best header of the ball. Listen, will you take the corner? Who's the tallest and best in the air? Right? You go and take that corner.
You're not the best header, didn't we? Best header of the football ball.
I know, but still, I'm a bad header.
He was doing everything. He's picking the team, making the oranges.
Yeah, go.
Making
the oranges.
Whatever he does. Signing for Chelsea.
Somebody obviously said to him, Harry Kane's the most dangerous on corners. We stuck him on him.
And he just said, don't finish that sentence.
Stop talking. The decision's been made. Get out. This is my idea if anyone asks.
Next page, strategy manual 4-6. Roy tells us. Anyway, right, so that's a right, so big thanks as ever to the lads for coming in tonight. There was, of course, Damon Flood, there was Ray Brady, there was Andy Young, there was Neil Gray, there was Ray Dickinson, and there was myself, Phil Casey. Big thanks as ever to Skillzone, Sandy for Dublin, for sponsoring the Monday Club. It's a great place. Go up there and have the events, and of course don't forget to tune in for the World Games coming up. And I think we've also got a bit of a night coming up, so anyone that's based in Dublin, we're going to have news on a night that we're running, a day that we're running. It's going to involve podcasts, it's going to involve ex-Liverpool players, it's going to involve a Liverpool match, and the tickets are fairly reasonably priced, so it's going to be a good day out. They're limited, I think. Andy, is it about 150 or something like that is the maximum attendance? Yeah, it's about 150 is the maximum attendance. So we'll have more details coming out in the next couple of days, but it's all nailed down. It's our first real live event that we're bringing ourselves, and we want everyone to come along to it as well. So that's it. So that's the wrap for the podcast tonight. Out later in the week, we've got Steve-O is going to be on with the post-match stuff after the game against Seville on Wednesday with Davy Thompson. We'll have Eurotrash Thursday. I think, Neil, you're hosting that this week, are you?
Uh-huh.
Neil is hosting it. Joe Walsh is in, and I just need to sort out another two people to come in and do it as well. And of course, we have our first Ladies in Red podcast that's going on. That's been recorded towards the night, so it should be out Friday as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on as we ramp up and have more, have all our consistent things that are going on. And then we'll have a pre and a post match broadcast as well after the game against Burnley at the weekend. So first of all, and lastly, sorry, not firstly and lastly, but the last bit tonight on the old outro is, fucking motherfucking verified on Twitter. Get in, blue ticks. We are now blue tick wankers. We're full of the blue ticks. Fuck yous. I'm fucking waffling. 4 years. 4 years. 4 years. And we finally got a blue tick. There was brown paper envelopes and everything going on to get that blue tick, but we have it now, and we're verified. And you know what? When you're verified, you get a secret timeline. I'm not going to tell you any more about that one. Get in. So that's it. So good night, God bless. We'll talk to you all later in the week, and spread the word. Remember, we're verified. You aren't.
Merhaba.
Merhaba.
Merhaba to you too.
That's Turkish.
Is it?
Hello. Yeah.
Merhaba. 50 euros. Merhaba.
All the fucking Blanchheads go to Cusa. That's it.
That's it. Yeah.
Story bull.
Cusa beating that's it. Yeah.
It's a great spot. Yeah. I'll knock it. It's a great spot.
Got all your jeans over there. There's the jeans. What make do you want them in? I'll give us a Calvin Klein.